ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 11 एंटाइटल्ड जड भरत इंस्ट्रक्ट्स किंग रहुगणा दिस इज टेक्स्ट 5 Savasanatma Vishayo Parakto Guna Pravaho Vikrita Shodashatma Bibhrat Prithannam Abhirupa Bhedam Antar Bahishvam Chapuraishtanoti Savasanatma Vishayo Parakto Guna Pravaho Vikrita Shodashatma Bibhrat Prithannam Abhirupa Bhedam Antar Bahishtvam Chapuraishtanoti Savasanatma Vishayo Parakto Guna Pravaho Vikrita Shodashatma Bibhrat Prithannam Abhirupa Bhedam Antar Bahishtvam Chapuraishtanoti Savasanatma Vishayo Parakto Guna Pravaho Vikrita Shodashatma Bibhrat Prithannam Abhirupa Bhedam Antar Bahishtvam Chapuraishtanoti Savasanatma Vishayo Parakto Guna Pravaho Vikrita Shodashatma Bibhrat Prithannam Abhirupa Bhedam Antar Bahishtvam Chapuraishtanoti. So this is 5.11.5. If you wish to chant.
Savasyanatma Vishayo Parakto Guna Pravaho Vikrita Shodashatma Bibhratritannam Abhirupa Bhedam Antar Bahishtvam Chapuraishtanoti.
Jai. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Because the mind is absorbed in desires for pious and impious activities, it is naturally subjected to the transformations of lust and anger. In this way, it becomes attracted to material sense enjoyment. In other words, the mind is conducted by the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. There are 11 senses and 5 material elements, and out of these 16 items, the mind is the chief. Therefore, the mind brings about birth in different types of bodies among demigods, human beings, animals, and birds. When the mind is situated in a higher or lower position, it accepts a higher or lower material body. Purport. Transmigration among the 8.4 million species is due to the minds being polluted by certain material qualities. Due to the mind, the soul is subjected to pious and impious activities. The continuation of material existence is like the waves of material nature. In this regard, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Mayara vashe yacha veshe khacha habu dubu bhai. My dear brother, the spirit soul is completely under the control of Maya. You are being carried away by its waves. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 3.27. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the 3 modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities, which is in actuality carried out by nature. Material existence means being fully controlled by material nature. The mind is the center for accepting the dictations of material nature. In this way, the living entity is carried away in different types of bodies continuously, millennium after millennium. Krishna bhuli se jiva anadi bahirmukh athaeva maya tare deha sansar sukh sansar dukh. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 20, Text 170. Due to the living entity's forgetfulness of Krishna, one is bound by the laws of material nature. ಓಮ ಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನ ಶಲಾಕಾಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮಿಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ಜೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ್ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ again we have Bhakta Vek and Mother Gopalila and Mother Shatamai and then this fool here, so and it's just that the authorities in the temple have given me certain services and I have to do it at all circumstances. If I would love to offer it to any of these devotees to come and speak, but then it's as if I'm not doing my service. So just so that I do my allotted service, I have to sit here and blabber something, so please forgive me.
Well, we know nothing compared to the knowledge and experiences that you've developed throughout the years.
This is an example of humility.
Krishna's been using you to do a lot of chanting and lecturing, and so that's your spiritual gift.
Your blessings. So in this ongoing discussion between Maharaj Jada Bharat and Maharaj Rahugana, the reason I'm saying Maharaj Jada Bharat is because a true king is he who has conquered his mind. And here was Jada Bharat, completely pure transcendental personality, talking to somebody who is considering himself to be a king. So when they discuss different subject matters, they don't talk superficially, but since Jada Bharat is a pure representative of Krishna, he's going to the root cause of all suffering and all problems. So in this discussion, he speaks about the importance of mind control or the art of mind control. It is described that in all yogic practices, sense control and mind control are preliminary, elementary stages of advancement. Whether it is karma yoga, whether it is jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, ashtanga yoga, or bhakti yoga, it is a must for the sadhaka, for the yogi, to have his senses and his mind under control. Srila Prabhupada gives an example that the mind and the senses are like snakes with teeth and poison. But a bhakti yoga, a yogi, a devotee, practicing devotee, also has these senses and this mind, but now it's like the snakes without the poison and without the teeth. And who fears snakes without the poison? We play like ropes. So another example Srila Prabhupada gives is that a Goswami, or somebody who has his senses, his or her senses and mind under control, they are like eight-legged tortoise. They can pull their senses, their legs out, their senses out when in need for service to Krishna. And when there is no need, they can put it back inside their shell. So Jada Bharat can exactly speak about this because he's exactly acting like that. He pulls his senses out when needed in Krishna's service, and when not needed, which is most of the times, he pulls it in. Jada Bharat never ever spoke to anyone. And even if people spoke to him, he completely heard, understood, comprehended all that they said. He still acted as if he couldn't even hear. And if he heard, he couldn't understand. And if he understood, he couldn't act. He acted like a dullard, but he wasn't. He was acting like the tortoise who could completely restrain from all, not just sense, I won't use the word sense enjoyment, but even sense engagement in any sort of non-Krishna conscious activity. Srila Prabhupada spoke on so many verses of the Bhagavad Gita, but the verse that Srila Prabhupada spoke maximum number of times, according to the research that ISKCON devotees have done, is chapter 7, text 1 of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Mayasakta mana partha yogam yunjan madashrayaha asamshayam samagrammam yathajnyasasi tachrunu. Where Krishna says, please hear or listen, O Arjuna. So that was the main point, where the point of Shravanam or listening is, or hearing is stressed on. But even higher than that, Krishna says, Mai asakta mana partha. It is very important to have one's mind and consciousness fixed in me, or fixed on me, so to speak. When we have our mind fixed, the activities connected to Krishna, then naturally we control it. Krishna also gives the principle for mind and sense control in chapter 2, text 59, Bhagavad Gita, where he says, Vishaya vini vartante niraharasya dehinam raso varjam rasopyasya param drishtvani vartate. Where Krishna says that if you artificially try to control your senses and the mind by restraining from the objects of sense gratification, then it's just temporary. Very soon you'll go back to the path of sense gratification. But if you give your mind and senses a better feed, if you give something better to chew, then naturally the lower tastes are overcome. Scientists are working on a pill which is very tasty, which especially it is meant for those who are chain smokers to overcome this tendency of smoking. Because they found out that whenever a chain smoker has some free time, his fingers and his lips and his senses really crave for that want of smoking, the smoke, so to speak. So they are trying to create a pill. Whenever you feel like smoking, just pop it in. It gives you the feel or the taste, so to speak, or the total experience of smoking, but you're not smoking. So so you're trying to give a, I won't say higher taste, but a substitute, so to speak. But on the path of bhakti, Krishna or the representatives of Krishna, Guru, they don't give us substitutes. Oh well, I know, I understand, I sympathize that you cannot have illicit sex. So what to do? Oh, take this. Or chew this pill. But they help us how to overcome. They don't teach us how to solve problems, but they help us how to transcend it. They don't teach us how to run away from problems. They teach us how to run into it and solve it by transcending. So in this way, the point of sense control and mind control is very, very important. Even in the Nectar of Instruction, the first verse that Srila Rupa Goswami Pad gives as for a practicing devotee, he says, Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam. He says, of all the urges possible, the top three are the urge to speak unwanted gossip, the whirlwind of the mind, and also the uncontrollable push of anger. And then comes eating and sexual impulse. But manasa krodha vegam, out of the six urges, Rupa Goswami names the art of mind control, or the need for mind control, to be second on the list. So it's really high. And even according to local newspapers and different things that happen around, we see that most of the people act impiously or, you know, violently just because of uncontrolled mind. You have violence going on, you have killing, you have acts of impulse, and then they regret. They said, oh, I don't know why I did that. My mind just went crazy. So the mind is such, it's mana, as it is called. It's a monkey. It's a total monkey. It just jumps from one branch to another. It externally acts as if it's very renounced. Like if you look at a monkey, it doesn't wear clothes, and doesn't eat opulent food, doesn't have place to stay, but it's always contemplating on when I can find a she monkey and enjoy. So the mind is like that. Externally, it gives us a feel, oh, you're a very advanced devotee. Oh, look, you're completely renounced. Or look, you're so advanced, you have no sense gratificatory tendencies. But when the right time and the right circumstance come together, the mind is the first one who says, go and enjoy. And then we suffer the guilt, but the mind is the one who pushes. So it's very important to control the mind. In fact, the Bhagavatam, Canto 11, chapter 23, text 42, 11, 23, 42, has a very beautiful verse. Nayam jano me sukha dukha heto na devatatma griha kala karma bhi manam param karanam aap amananti samsara chakram parivartayet yat. It is described that what is the root cause of all our problems? Nayam janome. The root cause of all our problems, the good news, is not our spouse. It's not our children, not our family members, not our relatives, not our neighbors. It rules out that possibility. Nayam janome sukha dukkha heto. So that all the happiness and suffering that comes to us is not because of these people. That's the verdict of the Bhagavatam. Second, na devatatma. It is not because of the crazy tantrums caused by the demigods. That's also not the reason. Third, griha. It's not because of your astrological and astronomical planetary positions. Third. Fourth, kala. It's not because of inauspicious time. Fifth, karma. It's not because of even your past and present deeds. These are all instruments. But what is the main reason? Manam karanam param karanam amananti samsara chakram parivartayeti. The only reason and the sole reason for all happiness and suffering is our own mind. Manam param karanam. The main cause of all the reversals and dualities in this world is simply the mind. So if the mind is controlled, then even if the spouse, the children, the family, the relatives, the neighbors, the demigods, the planetary position, the inauspicious time, the karmic reaction and the place, if all of them are even out of order completely, but if the mind is controlled, then we are not agitated. But if the mind is uncontrolled, and even if all of them are well intact, the mind says, look, your time is not proper. Look, he's the one who did it. Look, she's the one who caused this. Look, ultimately, it's your planetary position. Oh, maybe the demigods did it. Or maybe this guy did it. So the reason for all our misunderstandings and arguments and conflicts and backbiting and envy and jealousy is all because of this uncontrolled mind. You know, the mind instigates lust and then greed and anger and envy and all these things. Krishna says in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text 61, 62 and 63, where he says, sanga sanjayate kaman kaman krodha bijayate krodhad bhavati sammoha sammohat smriti vibramaha smriti bhramsha buddhinasho buddhinashat pranashyati. Says the main reason for all our suffering is the attachment of the senses to the sense objects, and this happens because the mind pushes. The mind tells the eyes, go look at her. Tells the tongue, this might not be offered, but you know what, it's vegan. Go taste it. You know what? Nobody's seeing you. Go listen to some songs. Come on. Take a break. Every devotee needs a break. Go listen to some nonsense. So the mind pushes and the senses go, sangha sanjayate kaman. And when that happens, as soon as the senses come in contact with the sense object, there's some attachment, there's some affinity, some interaction. And that's called as lust. Now, there's pleasurable. So next time you wanted more, and when it is satisfied, it gives rise to greed. Ah, this seems a good experience. I want it next time. I want it next time. So from lust or desire for enjoyment rises the desire for more gratification. That's greed when fulfilled. Now when this is not fulfilled, why am I not getting this? So it gives rise to another evil called as anger. So therefore Krishna says lust is such a thing. When it is satisfied, it gives rise to greed. And when not satisfied, it gives rise to anger. And therefore, when Arjuna asks Krishna what is the root cause of all suffering, Krishna says, Kamesha Krodesha Rajoguna Samudbhava. Chapter 3 Bhagavad Gita says the root cause of all suffering is lust. But this again comes about because of uncontrolled mind and uncontrolled senses. So in this way, here we find where Jada Bharat is nailing this point, that out of all the 10 material elements, now what are the 10 material elements that are covered in the translation? You have the 5 knowledge acquiring senses and the 5 working senses, and the 11th is of course the mind, the king of all senses. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says, among this I am this, among this I am this, he says, indriyanam manaschasmi, among all the senses I am the mind, because Krishna knows how powerful the mind is. So it's very, very powerful. And There's one place, one Acharya comments that mind is so powerful that it can make Indra into an ant into Indra, depending on how we use it. Krishna's given us this material body, which is like an aeroplane, which is like an aircraft. So we are all pilots. The spirit soul is the pilot. And we have this earphone or headset. And there's an expert who speaks to us. That's the super soul. Now it depends whether we want to listen to him or no. The instructions are coming. So we are the pilot. The process of hearing the headphone, the shravanam, is very important. Hearing. And the expert is the super soul. And in front of us, we also have a written manual, a guidelines set of instructions. That's the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. And we have the place one, and then the departing place, and then the arrival place. So the departing place is the material world. The arriving place is Goloka Vrindavan. The aeroplane is the human body. Now, but still, you need controls. Right? You have to do according to what your expert is saying. And one of the important things is push the button of mind control deep. Don't leave it open. If you don't control the mind, the aircraft will just go. And instead of landing in Goloka Vrindavan, we might probably come into this material world again and again. So do the needful. Vacho vegam. Manasa vegam. Jivva vegam. Oh, good. Six buttons. Press six buttons. Okay. You know. And then the aircraft is. But invariably, we are using our aircraft of this human body like somebody would use a four-wheeler on the car on the street. We are supposed to hit midair and escape. But we love the road so much because we have been here driving for such a long time, so many lifetimes. That even when we get this aircraft or this aeroplane, human-like body, we tell the control people, oh, I just love the road, you know. You told me to take it to the runway a couple of circles and then hit the mid-road, but I don't feel like flying it high. I just want to use it here. So the control people come and say, then probably you need a driver's license, not a pilot's license. Which means don't be a human being, be an animal. The animal has so four wheels, four legs, and just keep driving on the eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. You know, human being is supposed to control his mind and just escape. We are like birds while this material world is a cage, and in this human form of life, the door of the cage has been opened. But if you still think, oh well, I'm supposed to be inside, then it's a foolish bird. But as soon as the door is open, see, oh, there's nobody looking, just escape. And that escape is possible. So the door is open in the human form. But that escape is possible when the bird decides to fly. And that will be possible only by controlling the mind. Now we spoke about the mind. We spoke about the importance of mind control. Now let's talk about the solutions in the next 5 minutes. How to control the mind, what to do, what not to do, and examples of mind control. By not controlling the mind, it can create total havoc. Examples, even demigods. Indra, uncontrolled mind, which leads to uncontrolled pride, and Krishna crushes his pride. Brahma, four heads, uncontrolled mind, desire to even check on Krishna, and Brahma Vimohan Leela, Krishna crushes his pride. Brahma, uncontrolled mind, gets lusty, runs behind his daughter. Lord Shiva, uncontrolled mind, in some places, or at least expresses that teaching. Brahma and Shiva have controlled minds because they're Mahajans. But just to set an example and show the world how important it is even for demigods to control their mind, they show this pastime. So Lord Shiva runs behind Mohini Murthy, externally showing as if he's attracted, but internally it's the run that a pure devotee has for his eternal master. On the contrary, we have examples of mind control as Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur is sitting in the middle of the forest. It's dark. There are no CCTV cameras. There's no audio recording, no video recording. Nobody cares. Nobody sees. Nobody hears. Nobody knows. There's no media, there's no nothing. No footage, nothing. No MMS scandal, SMS, MMS, nothing. No technology. But Haridas Thakur, because he had the higher taste and because his mind was at the lotus feet of Krishna, none of the things in this material world which come under the three modes of material nature could attract him, because he had transcended. Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nis Traigunya Bhavarjuna. He had transcended the three modes. So even when this prostitute came over and then tried to provoke him, she was standing exposing her body, and Haridas Thakur was a young 25-year-old devotee in the middle of the night, in the middle of the forest, the most conducive, materially speaking, situation. But because he was attracted by the higher energy of Sri Krishna, the internal energy, by chanting of the holy names, he could transcend all the pushings and the urges of the mind and the senses. They say reputation is how you behave in public, thinking about what people think about you. And character is what you do in private when nobody is looking at you. So Haridas Thakur, because he was practicing sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti and prema bhakti, his character was really powerful, with mind control and sense control. Krishna gives examples of how to control the mind. He says, Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo mataha. Chapter 6, text 47, Bhagavad Gita. He says, among all the yogis, he whose mind is fixed in my eternal being, you know, or is fixed at my lotus feet, he's the best devotee, he's the best yogi. Among all the yogis, yoginam api sarvesham, of all the practitioners, could be Hatha Yoga, could be Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. He whose mind is actually fixed on me is actually a true yogi, because his mind is now controlled. On the flip side, Krishna says, he who's externally away from sense gratification, but in his mind, he's contemplating, only if I got this. Externally is renounced. Oh, no. But in the head, it's Nirjala Ekadashi. Only if I had one rasgulla. So tasty. Krishna says there's no difference. The activities that we do mentally and the activity that we do physically, there's no difference. Therefore, on the path of renunciation for a brahmacharya or a sannyasi, it is said, out of the 8 rules of brahmacharya, one of them is not even to think about women or, you know, talking to them in private, because you are what you think and you are where your mind is. So if mentally we are thinking something, there is no difference in effect. Because sometimes we find we're sleeping, we're dreaming at night, and we see a fearful situation. And externally we just get up. We're palpitating and we think that's real. Because the mind gives us this real life experience. So it could be fearful, it could be pleasing, it could be horrifying. So whatever the mind thinks and wherever the mind dwells, that's in reality. We find Maharaj Ambarish is glorified as the great devotee, because Srila Prabhupada explains, Savai mana Krishna padara vindayo vacham sivai kunta gunanu varnanam. Canto 9, Srimad Bhagavatam. It's described that he was a great devotee because he engaged all his senses in Krishna's service. Most importantly, starting with focusing the mind on Krishna. Savai mana Krishna padara vindayo. Very important to fix our mind on Krishna's service. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking to Ramananda Rai on the banks of the Godavari, Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai, of all the types of meditation, which is the topmost meditation? And Ramananda Rai says, the meditation of a devotee where his mind is fixed at the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, that is the best meditation. So again, engaging the mind in Krishna's service. Very important, where our mind is. And therefore, Krishna says that don't think the mind is your enemy, and don't try to stay away from the mind. The mind is an asset. If it is unbridled, then it is the greatest enemy. But if it is well controlled, then it is the best friend. Why is it the best friend? Because you have mind in your subtle body, which helps you think of Krishna always. If you're a practicing devotee and you want to think of Krishna and the mind is controlled, the mind will tell you, look at the grass. Oh, it's the complexion of Ramachandra. Oh, look at the sky, it's the complexion of Krishna. Oh, look at this, it's golden. It reminds you of Gauranga. Look at that. Oh, that's white. That reminds me of Nityananda's complexion. Oh, look at this. Not like that. So that way, if the mind is well trained, then it's the best friend. But if it's not trained properly, then it's the greatest enemy, because it will take you away from Krishna. Even when we are chanting japa, the tongue is saying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But the mind is telling us, oh, do you know what you're going to do after japa? Oh, mentally let's make a shopping list. Oh, where are you going to go tonight? What time is the meeting? You remember what your friend said? Oh, look at that devotee. He was the one who made slanderous statements against you. Next time he says this, you're going to say this. So that when he says this, you say this. And all of this when we are chanting japa. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, if mechanical, physical chanting of japa is what matters, then the tape recorder goes back home back to God at first. Said, what a living entity can add to one's japa is the involvement and the absorption of the mind. So on the path of chanting japa also, we have the 4A formulas. The first is the attention to the holy name. You're attentive. Then you're absorbed in the chanting of the holy name. Then you're naturally attracted to the chanting of the holy name. And finally, you're attached to the chanting of the holy name. So attention, absorption, attraction, and attachment. His Holiness Mahanidhi Swami used to say this. Said that the 4A formula for mind control while chanting japa is like this. So in this way, it's very important to engage our mind. And in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada has made such a wonderful program that every single thing, the variety is kept so that you focus your mind. Even when we are having prasadam, we have like excellent quality, excellent quantity, so that the mind cannot go away from your prasadam plate. You know, you're so focused while like the mind can go away during deity worship, can go away during japa, can go away during Bhagavatam classes. But the mind never goes away during prasadam. So therefore Prabhupada said, chant, dance, fast and feast and walk your way back home back to Godhead. So finally, one last statement on sense control and mind control. The way we can engage our senses in Krishna's service is by engaging in physical service, practical service, in the service of Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. The way we can engage our mind, mana, is by mantra meditation. The way we can engage our intellect is by reading the shastras. And the way we can engage and purify our false ego is by cooperating with devotees. And the way we can drench our soul and consciousness in Krishna's service is by deity worship, staying in the dham, reading shastra, chanting Harinam and Sadhu Sangha. So in this way, we can engage our mind, intellect, consciousness totally in Krishna's service. And even if we fall down in the sense, if you're away from the path and we are trying hard and the mind still flickers like a monkey, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if it goes away 99 times, get it 100 times. Get it back 100 times. So don't think about how many times it goes away from the path. What makes a good devotee is how many times he gets it back. Just like in the material sense, they say, doesn't matter how many times you fall, what matters is how many times you rise after the fall. So the mind is going to go places, but how well and how sincerely we want to get it back on track is what determines our honesty and sincerity on the path of bhakti. So I stop here. If there are any questions, comments, suggestions, improvements, queries, advice, chastisement, instruction.
About mind. Thank you.
Right.
And to do it naturally, it's also not easy. But like Srila Prabhupada said, you can get in Krishna consciousness right in 1 second. It will click in your mind.
Right.
You will never come back. You will be in the shape what will take you to spiritual world, and you will never come down.
Right.
Back because you got different taste. Or it will take you millions of prayers again and again, and you cannot get into the point. That's why it is difficult to make this easy.
Right, right.
To comprehend, it's not easy.
Right.
But you're right. Mind and senses, we have to manipulate them.
Right.
Say,
right.
We have to manipulate not our soul, but us.
Right.
As a soul. Just when you've got into the planet, everything will be okay. Even the plane fall down, it doesn't affect.
Right.
It doesn't affect your understanding. Because you're already on a different track.
Right.
You've grown up, you cannot go back to kindergarten.
Right.
So you're right. And we have so many, different features in our body and different ways
right.
to train our body and both mind and senses. But also helps a lot. I can say intelligence, knowledge, reading, association with intelligence. And of course, if you will be fortunate enough to have association with senior devotees and gurus, especially gurus, 1 minute in the presence of pure soul will take you out of this world.
I'll read the translation again. Yeah. Because the mind is absorbed in desires for pious and impious activities, it is naturally subjected to the transformations of lust and anger. In this way, it becomes attracted to material sense enjoyment. In other words, the mind is conducted by the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. There are 11 senses and 5 material elements, and out of these 16 items, the mind is the chief. Therefore, the mind brings about birth in different types of bodies among demigods, human beings, animals, and birds. When the mind is situated in a higher or lower position, it accepts a higher or lower material body.
See how complicated.
Yes.
But it could be simple.
Right.
Thank you.
Yes, Bhaktarik. Thank you so much, Mother Gopalila.
recently, you brought to my attention some of the things that Radha Tron Maharaj experienced. And one of the things that struck me was when he first met Srila Prabhupada, he was going to touch the feet of Prabhupada, because that was the custom in India, to touch the feet of a holy man, of a Mahatma. And then there was a devotee by the name, I believe, Gurudas, that stopped him, grabbed him, and said, no one touches the feet of Srila Prabhupada, that's the universal rule. And Prabhupada said, let him touch my feet. And this was a very, very significant thing, because touching the feet of Srila Prabhupada was not done, and generally speaking, Prabhupada agreed with that particular rule. But there's a reason why Prabhupada allowed him to do that, not because Prabhupada was sentimental, but because Radha Tron Maharaj saw, even when he was in high school, that Krishna consciousness or God consciousness actually comes when a person is especially conscious of discipline. So the more we're conscious of spiritual discipline, the more we can become Krishna conscious. And Radha Swami is, you might say, in his calling, is the disciplinarian par excellence. And no one can match this fantastic discipline. And
all the great devotees like Ranjan Swami Maharaj, Radhanath Swami Maharaj, Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, Devamrita Swami Maharaj, Chandramouli Maharaj, and all these great personalities.
They're all very, very good, but the thing that struck me about Radha Troy Maharaj is even in high school, there were two things that he was involved in, nothing else. His wrestling and also his studies. And this was great preparation for spiritual studies and spiritual activities later on. I mean, he did not get involved with a lot of joking. He did not get involved with women, such as a popular pastime here in the United States, in high schools especially. And so Prabhupada saw that, and he made, in other words, he made the statement to Gurudas and others, look, this particular individual has 100 more times the discipline that you people do. And so he wanted then to show a special mark of privilege towards him by letting him touch his feet. It was not a shallow thing that Prabhupada was doing. So it was based actually on knowing the character of this individual. And I mean, even if you take the Chaupari Temple, it's a small thing, for example, if a person is late a few seconds, 10, 15 seconds for Mangalarati, but Radha Swami made the rule that even if a person is 10, 15 seconds late for Mangalarati, he should write 1,000 times, I will not offend Prabhupada and Radha Krishna by being late for Mangalarati. And because Radha Swami Maharaj noticed that even in India, people were becoming slack in following basic rules and regulations.
Where did you hear that from?
Well, I mean, I've known that for a while, that Radha Swami Maharaj would not allow people to be late even for a few seconds for Mangalarati with impunity by not going through some kind of punishment. And so he was very, very observant. I mean, no one else made that rule except Radha Swami Maharaj, because he was very aware that Krishna consciousness is deepened by discipline. And so he made sure that even in small things, people would be disciplined and thus increase their
Krishna
consciousness. Not because, you know, he enjoyed being a disciplinarian. You know, you must do this and this other thing and this other thing. No, but he saw that there was a fall down, even in India, those basic principles of discipline. And so he made sure that in the Chaupari Temple, it was going to cost devotees some pain if they were even a few seconds late for Mangalarati.
Right. Yeah, I also heard that in Mumbai Temple, he has his own rules. It's pretty strict.
Yes.
And not everybody can take it. But still, it's just a long list, waiting list. So many really sincere, honest devotees want to be trained in his temple under his guidance and control, because he knows how important to not to be on Mangalarati, but it is important to be. But to understand how important to be on Mangalarati. And what does it mean to be on Mangalarati? Not many devotees, even who are just getting singers and for many years, they don't understand what does it mean to be on Mangalarati. Yes, of course they have some, you know, duties to do, or our body is down or something. But understand, what does it mean to be a Mangalarati? It means, yes, respect. And our soul is on the proper, right place when we are in front of the deities. Not we are looking at them.
They are looking at us.
And that's why Bhakta Rick is right. This offense, if we slip it somewhere, deities see us there, and they see we are sick, we are this or that. discipline, it trains body. So the same thing with mind.
Right.
Train mind. But again, if you click into it, if you understood, you will do it. You will lift your body, you will take it in your hands, take it down to sit down. But again, it's just everybody's choice. People live outside, doesn't mean they're not as good as those who are living in the temple. It's just circumstances. Still, the most important understanding. That's what always will be with you from, you know, one way to another. Because soul has unlimited storage and memory. It will always be there. And we have to choose what to collect. Some junk, what will be, you know, ruined together with the body, or spiritual account, what will be always with us. And finally, maybe we will reach spiritual planet at least. I cannot even dream about it. But just understanding in each point what we are doing. That's why devotees coming to the temple for training, you know, and preparing, and saves time of this life, just it's not waste time. Still do it, you know. But what I'm saying, understanding, just working, all start like something to focus on. Of course, what speed of the world, you can name it in the way that you can remember. Because not everybody understands what does it mean to fix on what is fixed, right? Mm. Krishna consciousness is just amazing. Each point you can give a clue, right? Right? So amazing, so significant, so beautiful. And thank you for your time and attention to us.
No, that's in fact it's my.
Me, not significant.
In fact, the first half from 8:30 to 9 was the blagram, and now was the time the actual class began. So I'm so happy that both of you all agreed to speak up, and now we still have nectar coming up from Mother Chatamai, so we still have some more left. It's not done yet. Yes, Mother Chatamai.
Trying to get into those habits, as you were saying, devotee association and same mantra with attention. This is the struggle, moment to moment to moment. And with advanced devotees, it becomes like the unbroken flow of oil. But I'm not there yet.
So Chatamai is the best example of discipline devotee, and in the same time very humble and sweet. That's what I can say, because I know her for years and she never will be changed. This is just the way
that will improve.
Whatever you say, I would believe. So there's no question of not believing you. Jai. All right. Thank you so much for tolerating me that long, and thank you so much for blessing me. Yes, Bhakta.
I just want to add something in a few words. I've noticed that certain temples, like in Dallas and Houston, devotees had bought a whole street of 20, 30 buildings. And so the devotees had moved in here, and that makes service so much more pleasant when you have a large variety of devotees living together. And rather than being distracted by watching, say, something on television which is not Krishna conscious, it's worldly, even say on something like Channel 2, you know, watching things on nature, we even have to be careful of that. But if we're living together, then we're going to get together and chant holy songs together, do the Hare Krishna mantra together, study together, discuss and do spiritual things like cleaning and cooking together. Because if we live 100 miles away from each other, it's going to be that much more difficult. It's going to be many, many more distractions. But if we are living in a community of devotees, it's Prabhupada mentioned that more than once, not only in a farm devotee, but also in a city arrangement. If we live together with a large number of devotees, it's going to be much more natural to want to engage in Krishna conscious activities.
Right. Association.
I think in India, devotees also live together quite often, right?
And yes. Yes, we do. Here we go on.
We tend to separate in the United States.
Yes. Yeah, in India, because there are so many people, there is no question of being alone. You cannot be alone. Wherever you go, it's like a mob. The good thing is, there's so many people, so therefore there's so many devotees, and wherever you go, there are devotees. So that's one good thing. Finally, one last comment. Putting all that into practice, we have a very nice song by Govinda Das where he says, Bhaja Hure Mana Sri Nanda Nandana Abhaya Charanara Vindare Durlabha Manava Janama Satsange Tarahuai Bhavasindure. He says, Bhaja Hure Mana, O mind, because you're a rascal, please worship. Bhaja Hure Mana, please worship. Whom? Sri Nanda Nandana, Sri Krishna, the son of Nanda. Abhaya Charanara Vindare, because by worshipping him or his lotus feet, the living entity becomes fearless and self-controlled. Durlabha manava janama satsange tarahu ei bhavasindure. Because you have this invaluable human form and you have this ship of sadhu sangha, just get onto it and cross over this ocean of material existence. So we'll try to meditate on this point and pray to Sri Krishna by his sweet will and his empowerment. We can even move our hands and legs, so what to speak of controlling the mind. Yes.
Just one quick question.
Yes.
In order for this at the end, the mind should be absorbed in the mantra, intellect should be absorbed in justice, false ego, minimized by serving devotees, and what was it for deity worship?
For?
Deities, but being absorbed in deities.
The self, the soul. The soul is absorbed by deity worship, sadhu sangha, naam sankirtan, dham vas, panchanga bhakti. Sadhu sangha, naam kirtan, bhagavat shravan, mathura vas, shri murti rashad, shraddhaya sevan. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sadhu sangha, naam kirtan, bhagavat shravan, mathura vas, shri murti rashraddhaya sevan. Panchanga bhakti, also quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami. Sadhu Sangha, Naam Kirtan, Naam Sankirtan, Bhagavata Shravan, listening to Shastra, Mathura Vas, staying in the Dham, and deity worship, Sri Murti Prem Seva. So Prabhupada said, you are where your mind is. So, sorry? Yes, that'll be ideal, man. Interesting thing, Ayendra Prabhu once said in his room conversation, he said, look at me, I read this verse and I wanted to follow all of them. I'm here in Vrindavan, so that's Dham Vas. I am with devotees, so that's Sadhu Sangha. I worship 3,000 saligrams every day, so that's deity worship. I chant Naam 24 hours a day through Japa and Kirtan, and most importantly, in my room, I'm reading the scriptures of the Goswamis. So I'm doing everything, and I'm Brahmachari for over 35 years. I sleep 5 hours a day, eat once a day, and I've been doing this for so many years. And the realization at the end of all of this, is that the only way we can reach Krishna is by chanting the holy names of Krishna. And the only way we can get taste in chanting the holy names is by being non-critical, humble, tolerant, patient, and submissive to the devotees. So there's a wrong conversation, but Narendra Prabhu says that. So Vaishnava Seva and Nam Sankirtan. That's the so we have two hands. So we hold one hand with Vaishnava Seva and one hand with Nam Sankirtan. And Gauranga and Nityananda pull us back. So in that way, we try and cry on our path of bhakti. But we never go away. Krishna helps us always. Alright, so we stop here. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your input. Thank you so much for your tolerance and patience. Haribol. Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki. Chula Prabhupada Ki.